He said, "You be right. I have studied the cusp between the worlds for most of my life. I should know better. Forgive me."
He smiled as he hugged her around her shoulders. "I'm gratified that you hold your vows to be so important. It means that you are a person of honor. There's no better ally than a person of honor." She looked around her shattered home.
"It just be that I have spent my life gathering these things. I have been their caretaker for so long. Others have entrusted them to me."
Zed walked her out of the rubble.
"Others have invested their trust in you to use the gift you were given to protect those without power. They are the ones who wrote the prophecies. You have been brought to this point for a reason. That's the trust you must keep."
She nodded, rubbing a thin hand on his back as they walked away from the remains of her home.
"Zed, I think several other bones be missing too."
"I know."
"They be dangerous in the wrong hands."
"I know that too."
"Then what do you plan to do about it?"
"I plan to do what the prophecy says the only thing that gives us a chance at closing the veil."
"And what be that, old man?"
"Helping Richard. We must find a way to help him, for the prophecies say he is the only one who can close the veil."
Neither looked back as fire roared to life, roiling and racing through the ruins, dancing through the bones. Chapter 26. Queen Cirilla held her head high. She refused to acknowledge how much the coarse fingers of the brutes who held her were hurting her arms. She didn't resist as they walked her down the filthy corridor. Resistance was hopeless, anyway, and would bring her no aid. She would conduct herself now, as always, with dignity. She was the Queen of Galia. She would endure with dignity what was to come. She would not show her terror. Besides, it was not what was being done to her that mattered. It was what was going to happen to the Galian people that grieved her, and what had already happened. Nearly 100 of the Galian guard had been murdered before her eyes. Who could have foreseen that they would be set upon in this, of all places, on neutral ground? That a few had escaped was no solace. They, too, would probably be hunted down and killed. She hoped that her brother, Prince Harald, had been among those who had escaped. If he had gotten away, perhaps he could rally a defense against the worse slaughter that was yet to come. The brutal hands on her arms brought her to a halt next to a hissing torch set in a rust-encrusted bracket. The fingers twisted so painfully that a small cry escaped her lips despite her will to stifle it.
"Are my men hurting you, my lady?"
came a mocking voice from behind. She coolly denied Prince Fyron the satisfaction of an answer. A guard worked keys at a rusty lock, sending a sharp, metallic sound echoing down the stone corridor when the bolt finally drew. The heavy door groaned on its hinges as it was pulled open. The vice-like hands forced her on, through the doorway and down another long, low passageway. She could hear the swish of her satin skirts, and to the sides and behind, the men's boots on the stone floor, splashing occasionally through stagnant, foul-smelling water. The dank air felt cold on her shoulders, which were unaccustomed to being uncovered. Her heart threatened to race out of control when she thought about where she was being taken. She prayed to the dear spirits that there wouldn't be rats. She feared rats, their sharp teeth, their clutching claws, and their cunning black eyes. When she was very little, she had nightmares about rats and would wake screaming. In an effort to bring her heart back under control, she tried to think of other things. She thought about the strange woman who had sought a private audience with her. Cirilla wasn't at all sure why she had granted it, but she now wished she had paid more heed to the insistent woman. What was her name? Lady something. A glimpse of her hair beneath the concealing veil had shown it to be too short for someone of her standing. Lady Bevanvere. Yes, that's it. Lady Bevanvere. Lady Bevanvere of someplace. She couldn't will her mind to remember. It didn't matter anyway. It was not where the woman was from, but what she had said that mattered.
"Leave, Aendril,"
Lady Bevanvere had warned.
"Leave at once."
But Cirilla had not come all this way, in the teeth of winter, to leave before the Council of the Midlands had heard her grievance and acted upon it. She had come to demand that the Council do its duty to bring an immediate halt to the transgressions against her land and people. Towns had been sacked, farms burned, and people murdered. The armies of Kelton were massing to attack. An invasion was imminent, if not already underway. And for what? Nothing but naked conquest against an ally? It was an outrage. It was the Council's duty to come to the defense of any land being attacked, no matter by whom. The whole point of the Council of the Midlands was to prevent just such treason. It was their duty to direct all the lands to come to the aid of Galia and put down the aggression. Though Galia was a powerful land, it had been gravely weakened by its defense of the Midlands against Dahara and was not prepared for another costly war. Kelton had been spared the brunt of the Daharan conquest and had reserves aplenty. Galia had paid the price of resistance in their stead. The night before, Lady Bevanvere had come to her and had begged that she leave at once. She had said Cirilla would find no help for Galia from the Council. The Lady Bevanvere said that if the Queen stayed, she would be in great personal danger. At first, when pressed, Lady Bevanvere refused to explain herself. Cirilla thanked her, but said she would not turn away from her duty to her people and would go before the Council as planned. Lady Bevanvere broke down in tears, begging that the Queen heed her words. She at last confided that she had had a vision. Cirilla tried to draw the nature of the vision out of the woman, but she said that it was incomplete, that she didn't know any details, only that if the Queen didn't leave at once, something terrible would happen. Though Cirilla trusted well the powers of magic, she had little faith in fortune-tellers. Most were charlatans, seeking only to fatten their purse with a clever turn of a phrase or a vague hint of danger to be avoided. Queen Cirilla was touched by the woman's seeming sincerity, though she reasoned it might be nothing but deception, meant to trick her out of a coin. A ruse for money seemed strange coming from a woman of such seeming wealth, but times had been hard, and she knew the wealthy were not immune to losses. After all, if gold and goods were to be seized, it only made sense to seek them from those who had them. Cirilla knew many who had worked hard all their lives, only to lose everything in the war with Dahara. Perhaps Lady Bevanvere's short hair was the result of that loss. She thanked the woman, but told her that the mission was too important to be turned aside. She pressed a gold piece into the woman's hand, only to have Lady Bevanvere throw the coin across the room before rushing off in tears. Cirilla had been shaken by that. A charlatan did not refuse gold, unless, of course, she sought something more. Either the woman had been telling the truth, or she was working in aid of Kelton, trying to prevent the Council from hearing of the aggression. Either way, it didn't matter. Cirilla was resolute. Besides, she was influential in the Council. Galia was respected for its defense of the Midlands. When Aedan Drill had fallen, councillors who had refused to swear the allegiance of their land to Dahara had been put to death and replaced by puppets. Those councillors who had collaborated were allowed to retain their position. Galia's loyal ambassador to the Council had been executed. How the war had ended was a puzzle. Daharan forces were told that Darkin Rawl was dead, and all hostilities were ended. A new Lord Rawl had succeeded, and the troops were simply called home, or ordered to help those they had conquered. Cirilla suspected Darkin Rawl had been assassinated. Whatever had happened was good by her. The Council was now back in the hands of the people of the Midlands. The ones who collaborated and the puppets had been arrested. Things were said to be set back to the way they had been before the dictator. She expected the Council would come to the aid of Galia. Queen Cirilla, too, had an ally on the Council, the most powerful ally there was, the Mother Confessor. Though Caelan was her half-sister, that wasn't what forged their alliance. Cirilla had always supported the sovereignty of the various lands while also recognizing the fundamental need for peace among them. The Mother Confessor respected that steadfastness, and it was that respect which made her Galia's ally. Caelan had never shown Cirilla any favoritism, and that was as it should have been. Favoritism would have weakened the Mother Confessor, threatening the alliance of the Council and therefore peace. She respected Caelan for putting the unity of the Midlands above any power games. Such games were a shifting bog anyway. One was always better off in the end when dealt with fairly rather than by favor. Cirilla had always been secretly proud of her half-sister. Caelan was 12 years younger, smart, strong, and despite her young age, an astute leader. Though they were related by blood, they almost never spoke of it. Kaelin was a confessor, and of the magic. She was not a sister who shared the blood of a father, but a confessor, and the mother confessor of the Midlands. Confessors were blood to no one but confessors. Still, having no family of her own save her beloved brother, Harold, she had often longed to take Kaelin in her arms as kin, as a little sister, and speak of the things they shared. But that was not possible. Cirilla was the queen of Galia, and Kaelin was the mother confessor, two women who were virtual strangers who shared nothing save blood and mutual respect. Duty came before the heart. Galia was Cirilla's family, the confessors, Kaelin's. Though there were those who resented Kaelin's mother taking Wyborn as a mate, Cirilla was not among them. Her mother, Queen Bernadine, had taught her and Harold of the need for confessors, their need for strong blood in that line of magic, and how it served the greater cause of the Midlands in keeping peace. Her mother had never spoken bitterly of losing her husband to the confessors, but explained instead the honor Cirilla and Harold had of sharing blood with the confessors, even if it was mostly unspoken. Yes, she was proud of Kaelin. Proud, but also perhaps a bit wary. The ways of confessors were a mystery to her. From birth, they were trained in Aiden Drill, trained by other confessors, and by wizards. Their magic, their power was something they were born with, and in a way they were slaves to it. In some ways it was the same with her, born to be queen without much choice. Though she had no magic, she understood the weight of birthright. From birth until their training was completed, confessors were kept cloistered, like priestesses in a world apart. Their discipline was said to be rigorous. Though Cirilla knew they must have emotions like anyone, confessors were trained to subjugate them. Duty to their power was all.